The so-called Arab Spring, as time goes on, looks more and more like the continued legacy of instability and violence left over from the colonial exploitation of Africa and the Middle East for centuries. A case can be made that the civil wars in Syria, the violence in Egypt, Libya, and Tunisia are less a flowering of democracy and more the product of corrupt governance and an outraged, inflamed citizenry, and that there's nothing particularly Arab about any of this. From Sudan and Somalia to Mali and Niger all the way to West Africa, coups and sectarian struggles keep populations in poverty and militias at war. The Central African Republic, once called the Central African Empire under a particularly corrupt leader, is collapsing once again into violence. Rebels held by the country's transitional leader, Michel Djotodja, marched on the capital and ousted President Francois Bozizé. Now, the former French colonial masters are coming to the rescue. Hannah McNeish just got back from the Central African Republic. She's a freelance reporter. Hannah, welcome.
Thank you.
Where do things stand right now on the streets in terms of this coup and whether the government can actually control things?
I mean, on the streets of the capital, Bangui, you've got machine gun mounted pickup trucks with guys with turbans screeching down the road, forcing everyone to stop to a halt because they're so terrified of them. You've got guns everywhere. You've got French troops patrolling around the capital city with enormous machine guns, regional troops. It looks like the scene of a battle, but actually it's a crumbling colonial city with nice French restaurants. Up in the north of the country, you've got tens of thousands of people squatting in a Catholic mission and a couple of thousand people squatting in a church, hiding from each other, Muslims and Christians separated, hiding because there's been so much violence that's really turned into a sectarian conflict through political manipulation. It's a feeling of absolute anarchy and lawlessness, and that anything could happen to you whilst walking along the streets.
Hannah, what is the estimate of the number of people who have been displaced in the Central African Republic, and how many troops have the French military pledged to possibly keep order?
There are so far about 400,000 people who have said to have fled their homes. That's 10% of the population. But there are also half the population that's said to be in need. And UN humanitarian chiefs have actually said that all of Central African Republic's 4.6 million people are affected by this crisis. The French have pledged 1,000 more troops to the Central African Republic to bolster a force of about 400 that were there already. There's also some regional peacekeepers, but they lack the guns and the cars to take these guys on. So now I think that countries like France are desperately scrambling to try and rectify this situation, but realizing that they can't really do it on their own, and that at the Security Council there's interest in this, but to send in a proper UN peacekeeping mission would take about 6 to 9 months, whereas CAR is currently on the brink of what some people say genocide, what some people say is an enormous a humanitarian catastrophe, basically.
Hannah McNeish, freelance reporter, just back from the Central African Republic. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
So, the immediate cause of the crisis in the Central African Republic, a Muslim government trying to impose its will on an 80% Christian nation. Is the CAR some kind of special case of sectarianism, or does it add to the overall tragic legacy of France's former colonies since independence? Author and expert on the Muslim world and France's former colonies is Samuel Laurent. Samuel, welcome.
Welcome, John, and thank you for receiving me.
Do you think the chaos in the CAR is a special case, or are we seeing really a trend in this century of instability in a number of the French colonies, including Syria?
Well, obviously, you know, this country is, as you say, the legacy from the French colony in which the borders have been drawn in a very arbitrary way. But actually, this trend is accelerating for mainly one reason, which is the spread of radical Islam in the Sahel region. And this precise phenomenon, the spread of radical Islam, has been ignited by the first French intervention 2.5 years ago in Libya. By putting this country in a total chaos, we have driven a lot of weapons in the rest of the Sahel region. And this is probably the reason why such a minority groups in Central Africa has been able to act so decisively and to seize power over such a large majority of Christians.
This is a circumstance which the French have dealt with really back to the independence in Algeria. And I'm wondering if the aggressive moves by President François Hollande to really confront this is a sign of lessons learned and expertise that the French have developed here, or a sense of panic?
It's actually a sense of panic. The problem is that we keep the old instinct. As you know, this Western African region has been what we call the backyard of France. We even have a word for that, which is France-Afrique. That means French Africa in only one sole word. So basically, we consider this place like a place in which we have duties, but we do not understand that the whole region is currently undergoing very profound change.
Is there a movement within France to just walk away from these former duties, as you describe them, these former colonies? Or are we getting close to the point where someone's going to have to say occupation in terms of the Central African Republic to keep order?
Actually, it's extremely troublesome, you're right, John, because French, at least in terms of the political leaders, either on the right and or on the left, are most united to say that those kind of attitude, those kind of very intrusive attitude, actually, are quite legitimate. This was the case in Libya. This was the case in Mali, which had a overwhelming support among the political class. And currently, there are very seldom major voice in the political spectrum that goes against the idea of an intervention in RCA, in Central Africa. But actually, if you look at what is Central Africa, this place is a mess. And despite the reassurance of our French defense minister, it is not easier than Mali. He's even himself telling that we have to recreate a state that does not exist anymore. And he's assigning himself a deadline of 6 months to do so. So I think it's more unrealistic, totally unrealistic. So we might be heading to a quagmire in which the French army will have to stay for long, and in which we're going to harm our own interests.
I wonder, Samuel Laurent, if the French government is going to find a lot of critics on the Security Council for this aggressive stance as France takes over the leadership of the Security Council in the UN.
Well, actually, you know, surprisingly, Africa is extremely positive about those operations. For many West African nations, for example, the Remembrance of Mali, when the French have stopped the Islamist spreading towards the south, had a very positive impact on the image of France. But what people forget much too often is that this intervention in Mali is a direct cause of what we did in Libya. So therefore, I think, you know, Africa is pretty united for further interventions of France. And I do not think that the Security Council or other members of the United Nations will pretty much act against it, because obviously the situation on the ground is so bad and is so worrying for the people. We talk about genocide. Americans are talking about pre-genocide. But obviously, this is quite a popular operation. But in terms of strategy and politics, it is a disaster long term.
Well, a widening set of complexities and conflicts regionally in Africa among the former French colonies. Author and expert on the Muslim world and France's former colonies, Samuel Laurent, thanks so much from Paris.
Thank you very much, John.
So we want your voice in our program. Tell us a story. Tell us what you know at thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.